How many people have taken a dog for a walk and that four-legged leashed canine suddenly becomes determined to confirm if that is their long-lost four-legged relative up ahead? Or they embark on Operation Destroy Feline. In other words, cat at 12 o'clock and it looks like this, right? Right? It's amazing how much power are in those four little legs, or sometimes those big dogs. I remember as a kid blocking someone's dog, and I'm like, man, this thing's like, there's some horsepower here. Not my dog power, there's some horsepower. You know, we want to ask the question today, who is leading us? Is it the Holy Spirit or our own flesh? Who? I can assure you, you got the flesh, but if you've been born again, you can overcome the flesh by God's Holy Spirit. Galatians 5 is the rubber meets the road passage, and you'll see that on the front of your bulletin. Probably the, I would say if you have a scripture to hold on to in your life, you really need to maybe look at Galatians 5 verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So if you are in Christ today, you're in the Spirit. Now does the Spirit have all of you? Point that finger right back at myself this morning. Does the Spirit have all of me? Galatians 5 is the rubber meets the road passage. All that is possible through God in this brief time on earth is outlined here. It's not only practical, it's what's possible through the Holy Spirit. He gladly regenerates us, making us alive with Him. We call that new life in Jesus Christ. The scripture says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. When I became born again, it's because truly I got to the point in my life I was so hungry for the food that Jesus had to offer. Number one, I knew I needed to be forgiven. And my goodness, you will find no greater release to know that your sins have been forgiven by Him. Because He created us, He formed us, He made us. And the Bible says that each of us has gone to his own way, but the Lord laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. And that's a promise He made to Israel. And that's why we continue to pray for the nation of Israel, because their Messiah is our Messiah. If you're looking to Jesus today, you're looking to Israel's Messiah. But because you are, you know, you Gentile, you non-Hebrew, God says, I'm getting you guys on the promises too. And Gentiles could easily have gotten saved in the Old Testament. They would have to, by faith, believe what God said. And that's the same for us. But our faith is expressly placed in a person. And we've been talking about that. It's Jesus. So we make a big deal of Him. He loves us. He couldn't have communicated His love. Someone said, how much does Jesus love me? Well, one person said, He spread His arms and He died for me, right? That's one way to think about it, and that's love. But see, some people think, well, if I live my life how I want to live it here, and I don't really care about God's agenda, when you face God, you need to be found in His righteousness. Because your own isn't going to get it done. And I know many of you have trusted Christ. But I pray for those of us, those of you, I would pray that if you have not placed your faith in the Lord this morning, that this would be your day, that this would be your day of salvation. And it's simple. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So I was hungry for Jesus, and I realized He had food for me. Jesus has living food. He's the bread of heaven. He's the bread of life. He came to offer Himself to us. Sometimes when somebody, and you've experienced this, I'm sure, in your own life, you sent someone so kind and generous to you, and they just wanted to give you a gift, and somehow that forms a response. It's like sometimes you just get blessed. Somebody just blesses you for whatever. And sometimes that's just the very food that you needed. You needed that encouragement. You needed that. And Christ is that continual encouragement to us. Any good thing that comes to you in this life, I really believe is from Jesus. I don't care who it comes from. If it's a good thing that you sense this wonderful blessing, just receive it as God is giving that to you. And the question is, have you come to Christ to be satisfied by Him? You know, living the Christian life is a battleground. And I think you're going to see that today. Many believers are just simply ignorant of how to overcome their hostile old nature that is still within them and are pulled and yanked like that guy. That describes a lot of people. Ups and downs, highs and lows, can't get it right, don't know. They're being pulled around, they're being yanked, because within every one of us is an old nature that does not want to cooperate with God. Just get used to it. But there's a solution for that. There's a remedy for that. Is that when Jesus was punished on that cross, he put with him your sin. God placed all of our sin upon him, freeing us. So now every Christian, every true born-again believer is free to serve God. Because it's been moved out of the way. And now you're free. But the reality is the impression of sin is still upon us. And we can't quite get this thing removed until we're in heaven. And that's why we're awaiting our new bodies. And so this thing can kind of mess with us. It's like, oh, I'm depressed again. Well, it doesn't mean that you're not going to still get depressed. You're going to go through difficulty, highs and lows. But what's your source of stability? What is it? I've had to ask myself the same question. How do I stay stable when I see another 11 people taken out yesterday in a synagogue? How do I keep my perspective on Christ? And a lot of these things mess with people. It's like, where's God? Where's God when all these things happen? Well, you want to know where God is, look at the cross. That's his love message for the world. And he's let this world tick, continue to move, because he wants people saved. And that's what we're working against, a timeline in one sense in our Christian life. That's why when you come into this world, however many years ago, God says, I want you saved. I want you saved. You have a choice. Because you will be somewhere for all eternity. Will you be with me? Here's my perfect provision for you. Receive it. And you know what happens with this whole thing too? If we really get this, this changes the way we view everything. You want to have a healthy worldview? Keep looking at Jesus, right? He's the one who, you know, James talks about looking into that perfect law of liberty. I've been set free from the law of sin and death. Sin is not my fault, but it's my fault if I ignore the remedy that God gave for me. That's the problem. I didn't, you know, who really wants to be full of sin, right? The problem is, because we are, God says, this is what you got to do. And he's long-suffering and he's patient. And he is there to take it away. He's there to move it out of the way so that you and I can freely serve him, unencumbered with just great love and joy for what he's done for you. That's why we get into the holidays and Christmas and the clutter of Christmas and all this other just distraction stuff. And you're going to buy for me, I'm going to buy for you. I mean, this is just weird stuff, right? How much we wind up getting entangled sometimes in our Christian lives, that we should just do everything through the Spirit. If we could just learn that message, we could just give generously, we could give what we can, we don't have to go into debt, we don't have to make this thing messy and hard. Because if we love Christ, people will see that. Somebody called yesterday and they said, Kathy wants to see Aaron. By the way, Kathy called. Did you get that? By the way, someone called. The one is Kathy. So Kathy Palker. Kathy wants to see Aaron because Aaron cheers her up. And so when sometimes just being around a brother or sister is going to refresh you. Do you invite believers into your life? Do you love them? Yesterday, Joni, I'm going to pick on you for a second. Amanda was playing this song for me that we were listening by Lauren Daigle's song. And we're both enjoying this song. And like a minute later, she gets your message with you. And she said, we stopped this on the computer. Where's it coming from? Well, it's embedded in your message that you sent Amanda. So now we're hearing the same Lauren Daigle song coming through your message to Amanda. And we're both like, just so you know, we were both thinking, isn't it awesome that what was blessing us was blessing her? Whenever you play that, I don't even know if you realize you capture that, but you did. It's good. Some weird things happen in the pastor's life, okay? I'm just saying. I'm going to try to stay on track here today, too. When we trust Christ, we receive new life. Did you hear that? When you trusted Christ, when you admitted that I need a Savior, I can't save me, God put a new nature in you when you called upon Jesus. And that nature does not sin. Isn't that awesome? That nature doesn't sin. That's why God doesn't have to keep bouncing in and out of you. Now, you can grieve the Spirit of God, but the Spirit of God stays with the believer. That's what being born again is all about. This is an imperishable gift, according to the Apostle Peter. We've been born again by imperishable seed. There are times where Christians look messy. And again, if you've got a messy life in any way, shape, or form, take heart. God wants to work with you in your mess. He wants to encourage you this morning. He wants you to be lifted. He has a remedy for your dilemma, and I believe it's spelled out in this section of the book of Galatians. The Holy Spirit has made it possible for the first time in your life to overcome the flesh. And there's a big if here. The big if is if we walk in the Spirit and are led by the Spirit. Let's take a look. It's going to be up on your screen. I'm going to read Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. Paul says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's try to look at some of these verses this morning. Put these three points in the back of your bulletin. Perhaps you are already familiar with Galatians 5. Keep in mind that the battleground in the book of Galatians is that these new believers were being told by this group called the Judaizers, Christian, you need to obey the whole Ten Commandments and be circumcised, or you're not saved. And so when a Christian, when a person becomes born again, what they're accepting is a finished work already done for them. That's why the gospel invitation should be so inviting, because Jesus paid for your sin in full. By trusting what he's done for you, you receive eternal life. I said it early in the service that he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. That's why if you look at the gospel accounts, you see how Jesus encounters a religious community. Not everyone necessarily was loyal to all of their tradition. Many had failed. And you see some of the encounters that Jesus had with people. He's dealing with messy people too. Think about the woman at the well, you know, how many husbands she had, and just, you know, just coming there when everybody else wouldn't be there because she felt so much shame. Who of us hasn't felt some level of shame? That's why I believe that when you truly hear a complete offer of salvation in Christ, you really want to run to it. It should just make you want to run. I want to run to the one who loved me perfectly. Who wouldn't do that? But see, sin blinds us, and so we can't see it. And we were talking a little bit about that last week, how we can just get blinded. And I'm all set. I'm all set. Don't mess with me. So what you're saying is God's offer is not good enough for you? we better be really careful with that thinking. And I think that's what should motivate us when we talk about, when Peter says, do this with gentleness and respect, it's like you want to get good at being a good gift giver. Who likes to give Christmas gifts, even if you go in debt? All right, I'm not encouraging that. If you need help with going into debt, be here Wednesday nights. It's going to help you not be in debt. Who doesn't like seeing someone's face light up over a wonderful gift, right? We don't often know what that really cost that person, but the last and probably most offensive thing you'd ever want to do is start throwing out cash and saying, hey, can I give you some money for that? That's what happens to the believer when they start to add works to their salvation. In other words, in order to earn God's favor. And we don't want to get in the way of what God wants to do by his grace in our lives. It's his grace that changes us. Dennis talked about that a couple weeks ago. I remember hearing him say, you know, that it's good for us to continue to grow, right? To grow in this grace. Let our hearts be strengthened by grace. And that's what we want. So on the back of your bulletin, you need to recognize that you are in war with your old flesh nature. If you struggle today, that's where the source of it. Now, Satan can also be very much enticing you to think only about you. But if your battle is just with everyday decisions, life, discipline, all those things, that's a battle with the flesh. And then you can see in Scripture what are the works of the flesh nature. And we just read through that ugly list, and that's why we continue to see people trying to blow up people, right? Buildings and all this stuff. You want to talk about what's the source of all the problems in this world? It's sin. It's sin in the heart of man. You can say, well, I would never do that. You don't know, right? I pray you don't. I pray I don't. But that's what, that nature is within every human being to do that. And that's why we want to arrest that as quickly as possible by coming to Christ and being filled with the Spirit so that our life could be different than what it could have been without him. Our life is nothing without Jesus. Nothing. If we can just get that one straight, because he's the life giver. He's not only the creator, he's the life supplier. He's the one that gives everything that we need to succeed in this life. That's why we can say all glory goes to him. Why would we give glory to the one who made it all possible? We're not glory hogs. We just want to push that back to God. God, thank you this morning. Thank you for this church. Thank you for these people. Thank you for what you're doing in them. Thank you for their grateful hearts, their willing hearts, their serving hearts that want to be a blessing to you. And then we want to talk about a little bit about the victory of the Spirit. How do we obtain victory and continual victory? I mean, peaks and valleys in the Christian life. I mean, sometimes those are still going to come, and every one of us are subject to those. And I'm telling you, it's taken me a long time, and I've heard this by many pastors. It took them a long time to understand, not so much that you're settling, but you know, you recognize how to stay in the groove of the Spirit. It's sort of a place to walk in. And there are times I can see landmines. I don't have to step on that one. Sometimes just shutting my mouth. Sometimes we just got to shut our mouth. Right? Marriage will teach you that. Marriage is an awesome teacher. Seriously, you know, God gives a training ground here. That's great. But there are times where you're going to continue to war within, and it's just this whole thing, it just gets yucky. But what causes a marriage to thrive? Really, a good marriage thrives because of Jesus. And they say, you know, couples who pray together, stay together, you know? There's some real proven things regarding how couples who are reading Scripture together, praying together, growing together, they recognize these pitfalls. The wise Christian is recognizing the pitfalls before he steps on them. Our enemy, Satan, is very crafty, and we can believe his lies. And sometimes that's why religious systems that look really good on the outside, and it's like these people come to your door with suits on, and if they're telling you that if it's Jesus plus anything, they're giving you a lie. And sometimes it takes an impressionable person to sometimes, well, you know, I am kind of desperate right now. Maybe I should kind of listen to them. Sometimes you don't even know how desperate you are, right? Especially coming into Christ. Sometimes we're just so in need that we're kind of ripe for something. And they say that the cults often get hold of a new Christian. They kind of mess up. And Satan is, I really believe, behind some of this stuff that, you know, you see a guy come in strong in the faith and all of a sudden he's talking to somebody who's trying to load him up again. And we just try to tell you how free you can be in Christ. Why are you listening to that stuff? because we got enough to deal with just with our own old nature. But when you start putting spiritual twisted things in there, and you're not acceptable to God unless you pray three times and do this and stand on your head and, you know, do cartwheels, and don't try that. But all this performance-based stuff, you know, you can find yourself feeling pretty defeated. So anyway, let's keep going here. So I want to talk a little bit about this first part, what this nature of this battle. I say, Paul says, walk in the Spirit, verse 16, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. In other words, the lusts of the flesh are there. They're not gone. People are like, well, I don't have a sex lust. Well, maybe that's not... That's the other confusing thing, is like, this is all, not just about sex. This can just be hungry for significance. Lust is varied things. It could just be hunger for something else. It could be for politics. It could be all types of things where you're just never quite satisfied, and it's like, if I just get more information, if I just get more in my pockets on this situation. Sometimes you have to ask yourself, why are you pursuing anything in your life? What's behind that pursuit? And I'm not saying pursuits are wrong. Hobbies aren't wrong. But if we give the Red Sox complete devotion 24/7 and not time for Jesus, you need to look at that and say, what do I get out of that? Because just being part of Red Sox Nation, don't you want to be part of Jesus Nation? You know, isn't that, amen, right? So, you know, I love the Red Sox. I can't wait to see them take this championship and bring home another ring. I'm excited for them. But I also say, what drives us? And if you feel like I'm being driven at times by this pursuit, realize that's your flesh nature. And it may be trying to find some relief or some sort of comfort outside of Jesus. And that's something that I think we have to pay attention to. What drives us? And I think that's just a really good, reasonable question. Paul says here, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit. In other words, it's in competition. God wants to give it. You want to take credit. I mean, it's crazy sometimes. And I think you see distortion today in people's minds. What are they chasing? Midlife crisis, convertibles. You know, my wife's like, I have a midlife crisis car in mind. I'm like, well, if we can afford it, no. Just... Paul says here, in the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. If you want the complete rundown of what Paul just says here, you need to read Romans 7 from verse 15 on. On the authority of Scripture, I want to tell you something. Paul is not a victim to his old sin nature. Many believe, they go, Paul gave up here. He's sort of admitting failure. No, he's not. He's figuring out through the Spirit of God how to overcome this icky factor that's dwelling in all of us. People are like, I don't like when you talk like this, Pastor Dave. I don't like to think there's an icky factor in me. Well, take it up with God then. Take it up with the Lord, because God says we came into this world with sin, and he's saying, I'm going to tell you and show you how it's removed this side of heaven. That's what this is about. And you look at what's, and I mentioned this moments ago, what drives someone to drive into any area and blow up a place and shoot people and say racial, being so racially hostile. Where is that coming from? That's in the sin nature. Anytime you want to know what Christ died for, he died for those things too. People think, well, I'm not that bad. And perhaps you haven't fulfilled that type of stuff. Praise God. Some of these people, they may have had an opportunity to be raised as a Christian and walked away from it or said no to it. And we think, oh yeah, we're so in control. Some people like never saw how far they could go. And you see some of the pictures of that in the Old Testament. Think of David. You know, when kings are supposed to go out to war, right? He stays back and he winds up having an affair which led to murder. This is the king. But God restores lives. And that's the awesome thing about our God. And so that there is hope. There's hope even in the midst of horrible, awful things. We don't want those things, but we also want to know that God can use us maybe to reach somebody. Do you realize that? Maybe somebody that you know needs encouragement. Somebody's on the edge. And there are times, and even in our own church, we try to encourage people. We try to reach out to them. We try to bring them in. We try to, you know, encourage them in their own faith. But there are parameters for growing, and you can't operate outside those parameters. God's not, he didn't leave us just to have guesswork here. He led us with specific instructions. So Paul says here, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Here's how you know you live in the Spirit. You're a Christian, right? But now walking in that's a whole nother realm that you're going to find yourself dealing with some of those strongholds and those things that might be trying to weigh you down. If you walk in the Spirit, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. This is so important. Sometimes you see where, you know, you start to see a little pride show up in your life. Where did that come from? What was I thinking? Why did I say that stupid thing? And I say, I don't want to be that way. And sometimes you see this little tit for tat stuff going on. Is that really helpful? I'm not saying don't joke with people, but you got to be careful. Sometimes even a sarcastic sense of humor can go into places that you didn't intend. Somebody gets offended and all of a sudden they're mad at you. And you know what I mean? Are you with me, people? Yes. Good. So we don't want to provoke one another either. You know, if someone's struggling, and that you will find in the church at times, people will be just simply struggling. How do you encourage them? I've seen people who are struggling get bad advice and it throws them into a tailspin. And you got to help them think through clearly, okay, that is not how you want to continue to go. You don't want to be letting your mind be so occupied with that. That's why Paul would say, you learn to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. The war with the flesh. Let's just talk. That was that number one there. How about the works of the flesh? It's almost painful to read all of these, but we need to be aware what they are. So this whole list: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, witchcraft. In other words, I was looking at when Saul calls up the witch, right? He wants to counsel. He wants to hear from Samuel, the one who delivered him so much good information. But the blessing of God is now withheld from Saul's life. And in order for him to access it, he wants to call up Samuel and get some counsel. And you and I need to really stay away from the realm. You need to know that God knows everything about your life. Don't go digging for stuff that is outside the Word of God. Horoscopes, this type of stuff. I'll just read my horoscope because I get a good feeling from it. That's just garbage. I'm just going to tell you. And I'm not trying to step on your toes here, but I'm just telling you, you're not listening to sound reasoning. You want to go with the one who loved you and the one who's going to teach you all things. And if for some reason, if there's something in that that you can't seem to reconcile, like, well, why is that really wrong? Or how can that really be so bad? Well, because the Bible says that this is wrong. Go with what the Scripture says. Go with God says, because you aren't going to find. You go to some medium when you're in crisis, they're not going to help you, right? I guarantee you. You tell them, hey, I'm desperate right now. I need some help. You know, I've had people come to me to tell me how blessed they have been by our benevolence fund in time of need, because they say, you know, I have a need. I can't pay this bill, you know. And I mean, there are agencies out there that don't help people. You got to give like 15 years of tax returns. You know, they make it hard. And sometimes the church, and I'm not saying the church should be unwise in these areas, but sometimes the pastor can have discernment. You know, a benevolence committee can have discernment. You know, we just want to help this guy. We want to help this woman. We want to make them realize that we care for them and that their needs can be met. And so you think about just the source of sometimes how people's need to know. It's like if you don't know what God wants you to do, likely it's because you're not reading the Word of God. And that's just the truth. Selfish ambitions, dissensions. These are the division. Sometimes this motive stuff. People want things. And then you say, hey, do you realize that you got yourself into some trouble because that ambition took you in the wrong direction? And then you try to correct some people, and they take it so personally. We're not here to beat people up. We're here to encourage you. We recognize that these things are possible still in the life of a Christian. And we want to say, how do I overcome this? How do I get beyond this? Maybe you got a problem with swearing. At times I'm like, God can deliver you from that. Just ask him, Lord, I don't want to let filthy words come out of my mouth. My wife sometimes will say to me, I don't like the way that sounds. And I was like, it's not the worst word in the world, but I don't want that to be a word. I don't want that. And sometimes when I say it, I'm like, you are right. It's not edifying. It's not encouraging. I want that to be reflective of Jesus Christ in my life and what he's done for me. And I don't have to resort to junky words. Somehow, like, I can't find another one. Well, find another one. There's plenty out there. I don't know how big the English dictionary is, but start reading it. You'll find some very encouraging words. And if you get stuck with that, get a thesaurus, because that will give you other words. All right. I'm having a little fun with you this morning. And Paul is pretty clear here. And I think you got two things going on here that you want to be pretty clear on. He says, just as I told you also in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now you might be saying, Pastor Dave, I have struggled with a lot of those things. Are you saying I'm not saved? And I would say this morning this, if you've received Jesus Christ, you are saved. The question really is, are you controlled by the Spirit? Also, if these things are the only things that you could say, you know, these biggies have been in my life, then get saved, right? Make sure you are saved, because it's clear here that this stuff doesn't dwell in heaven. And you think about the prodigal son who went off, and he was a son. He belonged to the father. He squandered everything. Spent it on prostitutes, loose living, that. But he came to his senses. He says, you know what, I can go home. And his father received him. But guess what he lost? He lost his inheritance. He spent it. And there are times I think Christians feel like they actually might not even know if they're saved. And they did get saved. They got saved from a previous time. So I think this kind of speaks to two primary issues. This could indeed be an unsaved person. But this also could be a Christian who didn't go on to live the life that God wanted them to live, and they've lost their inheritance. They squandered it. They wasted it. They thought about too much of themselves, and they didn't realize how to overcome and be victorious through the Spirit of God. And that's why Paul would say here, number three, your point number three, the victory will always and only come through the Spirit. You and I can't get victory over this thing apart from Jesus. It's not just being strong enough and disciplined enough. Sometimes you see these shows where it's like, you know, just 10 easy steps to being rich, 10 easy steps to being physically fit. How many people have gone on diets to realize, man, goodness, this is so stinking hard, right? This is hard. I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with this because you're overcoming a part that is not wanting to go in the direction. You and I still have it. That's why God wants to, he promises us he's going to give us a brand new body. He's taken us, he's going to take this body away. And should we die before Jesus raptures the church, the scripture says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so for every person who's in Christ, you have the hope of hopes. You're going to be released from this body of death. But don't just wait for that. That's an awesome thing to wait for. But learn right now to rely on the Spirit. The Spirit is the source of all things Jesus. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. None of these, I wish I could tell. I'm not an expert on any of these. Do I want to get better? Absolutely. I hope you do too. I hope that these are emerging fruit in all of our lives. You know, you look at a tree, it's like a tree's not just sitting there, I'm trying to grow some beautiful oranges. That tree, if it's nurtured correctly, cared for correctly, it's just going to produce healthy fruit. If the farmer does what he has to do, that tree has power and joy and taste. It's like, who doesn't like something so fresh and tasty? Don't you want your life to be fresh and tasty for Jesus? I do. The scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's what's so cool, that your life can be fresh and tasty. You know, maybe the world doesn't, Paul would talk about, to one, we're a stench of death to the world. Because like, you know why? Because we're calling people to him. Like on my way to heaven, I'm just saying, come with me, come with me, come with me. The best that I can, I want to do that better. Some of you have come to Christ in this church, and I'm so thankful for what God has done in you. And I pray more of you will just lay hold of these possibilities through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. Amanda sang about it this morning. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. That should just blow your mind. It should blow my mind. This same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. Am I stepping up to live this powerful life that God wants? Not getting discouraged, like, you know, another horrible thing just happened in the world. And, you know, the world would just, they're never going to stop reporting bad news. My wife will say, I can't even watch this anymore. I just can't even watch it. It's like the fifth minute into the, you know, top of the hour newscast. It's like, it's just more of this. And I'm like, you know what? This is the works of the flesh. This works of the flesh moment is brought to you by, you know, and that's what you're seeing on TV. This is what you're seeing. Most of the shows that people wind up watching at night will have some element of this stuff. Deception. All these things that are part of just everyday people's lives. And somehow we seem to like it. I don't know what it is, why we want to watch shows that rehearse murders. Show what drunkenness does. We see people yelling at each other. You know, middle of the day soap operas, outbursts of wrath, blah, 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 blah. And they're all mad at each other. It's like, is this helpful? It's helpful to me? No. Anyway, okay. So here's the deal. Okay. So from the fruit of the Spirit continues kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'm telling you, if there's ever a passage of Scripture where the rubber's going to meet the road in your Christian everyday life, it is right here. I would encourage you to meditate on these scriptures, especially this last part of Galatians 5. How can I walk in the Spirit? You know, I was looking at the book of James last night, and I said, you know, James is an exceptional scriptural diagnostician about the old sin nature. But he says, you know what? You got to keep looking into the perfect law of liberty. Because James sees things in people's lives. He can see what's happening in this early church. They're fighting with each other. It's ugly. And, you know, mistreating people who are coming in, and you sit over here, and you sit over here, and, you know, I'm telling you, that is all stuff that James does an amazing job clarifying how the old sin nature also needs to be, if you're going to overcome that, you're going to have to continue to look to Jesus. Amen? And those who are in Christ, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. This happened at the cross. People think like, well, Paul sounds so dedicated. I've been crucified with Christ. It's I no longer live. It's Christ who lives in me. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is a reality for every Christian. That's the Scripture's truth on that. Now, as we grow, because sanctification is this idea that God has already done that work in you, and now you're growing in that sanctification. You're growing in maturity. You're growing in respect to the things that we're talking about here. I really want to grow in this stuff. I want to get better. I'm not trying to earn God's favor, but I'm trying to be who God wants me to be. Paul says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, the reality is, if you're a Christian, walk as you are. That's really what this is saying. Walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. In other words, it can still happen after you become a Christian. And this is when churches fall apart. And if you've been in the church for any length of time, a lot of the stuff that winds up destroying churches typically is not over doctrine. It's people not able to get along. And that's the truth. If they would see Jesus clearly, that's why we, next Sunday, we're going to have the Lord's table, because we always want to be reminded of why we do this. When you come here week after week after week, it's like, why do you do this? Why do I get up here and talk like this? Because I want you to love Jesus better. I too want to love him better. You may have heard it put this way. I thought this was pretty cool. Two natures beat within my breast. One is foul, the other blessed. The one I love, the one I hate, the one I feed, will dominate. Let us continue to walk by the Spirit of God. If you are in Christ today, you have him. I pray that all of us would grow in this love for Jesus. Every one of us can improve in this area. Every one of us can be encouraged. Someone needs your encouragement this morning. Sometime this week, God's going to use you. He wants to use you to encourage somebody to keep on going further with him. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for each person in this room this morning. Father, I recognize that when we talk about these things and we look at some of the pain in this world, you've really clarified it in this particular passage, Lord. That these things that we might hate within ourselves may be still attitudes that sometimes we have a real hard time shaking. We feel guilty, we feel shame, we sometimes even could feel some condemnation. I can't live the Christian life. Father, thank you that you said it's only going to happen as you lean and depend upon me. By my Spirit, Jesus said he'll make his home in the believer. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that. Thank you that, Lord, if somebody's just brand spanking new believer, this is the day that they've turned to you. Lord, they're gaining the Holy Spirit. They're receiving the Holy Spirit of promise that Jesus said he'd give them. Father, thank you for the hope. I love what the apostle says. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that if there's a sense of someone's accusing themselves this morning in any way, past, present, whatever, Father, I pray that they would, again, just say, Lord, help me to turn from this. Help me to not be so dependent upon this. Let me be dependent upon you. Lord, may they see you clearly. May we as a church continue to put Jesus right in the center of all that we do. Lord, you have everything under control. We thank you for that amazing truth, amazing promise. We thank you that you promise I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Lord, if even something cuts our life short, the glorious good news for all of us, Lord, who are in Christ today, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Father, may we as a church just do better at communicating what we need to share with the world that needs Jesus. I thank you, Father, for the lives that you've saved in this room. If anybody in this room is not, for whatever reason, you don't know for sure that you're saved, raise your hand right now. I'd like to pray for you. Anybody hear this today that just said, I want to know, Pastor Dave, that I'm saved, that I'm on my way to heaven, that my sins are forgiven, that Christ Jesus saved me. I want to know that. If anybody's here today, I want to pray for you right now. Father, I pray that as we struggle in this life at times, we might feel this sense of defeat. Lord, may we take heart. May we continue to look unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It is finished, believer. Know that your salvation is complete and you are being completed as you continue to serve the Lord. That God's working in you. He's moving you to maturity. He wants you to learn how to walk in the Spirit, Father. We ask as a church, say, Lord, help us to walk in the Spirit. Thank you. Thank you for your promise to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Jenny and Kevin, or Kevin's here, Ed's here, myself, if you need prayer this morning, my wife is here. Anybody, any of the ladies want prayer, come up and see Beth. Maybe this is your day. I'd love to pray with you too. I'm going to go to the back and give the benediction, but these guys, I'm going to invite Ed to be available. Come up and pray. Maybe there's somebody that just says, you know, I just want to pray this morning about this. Amanda's going to lead us in the same song we started off with today.
Why don't you stand? I can see the waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us, lives in us. He lives in us, lives in us. Yeah, he lives in us.
But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Thank the Lord for that good news. We do have some refreshments this morning in the back. We're going to ask some of the ladies to put them out. Come and be with us in the fellowship hall. If you're visiting for the first time today, we'd love to have a record of your attendance. There's a bunch of cards and some pens on the back table.